Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you are here for our very first capstone integration project presentations of this year. We have two presenters today. Carlos Madrid will go first, and then we'll have a break before Dale Humphreys goes. Anyone who is able to help after Carlos's presentation is over, we would greatly appreciate it because we need to move chairs and bring in tables and kind of reset the space. So if you're able to help either do that resetting or doing the breakdown of it, because then we have to put it back like this, that would be wonderful. Thank you again for being here. I'm really excited to see what the fruits of this school year are in our two students who are presenting today. And without further delay, I'll invite Skip Tobin, who is the director of the USA Ministries at the Virginia Mennonite Missions, to come forward and introduce our first presenter.
Thank you. Good to be here with you today. Yeah, I work with VM Missions. It's been a great pleasure. I get to be helping Virginia Mennonite Conference churches and leaders being engaging in God's mission, and that's been a joy for me. And I get to introduce Carlos. I'm looking over his paper, which is a surprising job for me to do. But if you know who I am. But anyway, it's been fun to engage with Carlos on his paper and then to be having this opportunity to introduce him. Well, I want you to know that I know Carlos as a person of faith, but he's not a person of faith in some sort of philosophical faith that's kind of out there or a religious structure faith, but he's somebody who has faith in a real God, like God is alive and active, living in Carlos's life. And he tells me stories. I heard stories about how God met him where things were a little tough in his family. He provides for himself as a real estate agent. And there it was, the sale that he needed for that day, just in time. So this is like not a one-off thing for Carlos, but I've heard stories and got windows that Carlos lives a life of faith where God is providing for him in ways that I don't even know. But then it's refreshing to me to hear these stories from Carlos, somebody who has a living faith. And I know Carlos as somebody who connects in multiple worlds. I know Carlos as somebody who connects deeply in the Latino world, somebody who came from Honduras and with great good connections, and somebody who's educated in Spanish language. And here he is, master's level studies in English language, connects with the Anglo world. He's a real estate agent, which is pretty surprising. A real estate agent who sells in multiple worlds, too. I mean, who does this, you know? Carlos does. Who else can? I know Carlos as somebody who deeply loves his family. When I meet with Carlos, he talks to me about his family. CMR, he talks to me about his family. He tells me about you. He tells me about his kids. It's something that is on his heart. And as I've watched, I've noticed that I believe his family realize that Carlos loves them, and that's quite substantial. He's somebody who's faithful to his family, it's something that's very serious to who he is. Well, lastly, I know Carlos as a church planner. I know Carlos as somebody who worked in multiple church planning opportunities, first with a Spanish Church of the Nazarene, as somebody who was a staff church planner with them. And somebody who worked on the church planning team with IDA, the Iglesia Discipular Anabaptista here in Harrisonburg, for as many years plugging along in that difficult work of church planning. I know that church planning is on his heart, something that he's passionate about, something he talks to me about. And so, well, honestly, I'm here to hear his presentation because it's been a work in process here. And I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hear what he says about church planning here, and as he sees things, maybe a different take than most of us, who sees things from both the Latino world and the Anglo world, how he puts that together, what's that look like? And, I'd invite you to hear him with me. Thank you. Carlos?
I am like an employee. I am on a clock, right? So I'm going to go right to the point. What I'm going to do in the next 20 minutes is introduce you to the concept of church planting in an out-of-the-ordinary way we traditionally know. I will explain the reasons why it has become imperative to think about outreach to the unchurched, how it can be accomplished, especially to those from other from ethnic minorities, and why we need to start thinking and planning to tap on it. We need to be proactive in embracing the Great Commission by sending missionaries abroad. That's okay, but without losing focus of doing outreach at home. Because the ones we thought needed our preaching and teaching abroad, they are our neighbors here now. So with that introduction, let me tell you a little bit of myself. Just to explain how the cross-cultural concept came into my life, not into my mind, but life. When I first came to Harrisonburg, I came to visit my parents-in-law to say goodbye before moving to Chicago from Atlantic City, where I resided back in 1996. Then in May 2001, I came back with my wife and child, and it was at that time when the Holy Spirit showed me the need to reach out to the Hispanic community in the city. I returned to Harrisonburg in January 2003, but this time I came to stay. Right from the start, I did get involved in the first church plant with the Church of the Nazarene. This congregation had just hired a pastor whose job description included outreach to the Hispanic community as one of the minority groups present in the city and vicinity, which is the Shenandoah Valley. In 2009, then I joined seminary, attending an invitation to work on a church plant project conducted by a group of pastors and leaders from Mennonite denomination. The focus in mind, to reach out to the Hispanic community. The idea came about because of the membership decline Mennonite churches have experienced in the last decade, locally and around the country. Also, taking into account the present reality that the minority ethnic groups that are present in the city and vicinity are growing in number at a fast pace. As Christians, we have the call to be witness as found in Acts 1:18 that says, to be witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, we normally take on that mandate and start sending people in missions to the ends of the earth. Right? The mandate tells us to start in Jerusalem and progressively transition to the ends of the earth, as it happened in the first church planting Christian era. You can find that in Acts chapter 1 and 2. We should start doing the process as directed. We need to realize that many of the people from the ends of the earth are already here. They are our neighbors. Hey, that saves the big buck on the trips to the ends of the earth, don't you think? The previous call to ministry described above shows, in my case, shows at least four aspects that needs to be present in a cross-cultural church plant. Number one, the membership in Anglo churches is decreasing. I have data for that. Second, the community at large, outside the church walls, is growing due to the addition of newcomers from other ethnic groups. I will give you some numbers about that later. Third, the sense of call that the community of believers in the Anglo congregation has to do outreach and the willingness to attend that call. And fourth, the identification of a new community with whom to minister. In my case, the Hispanic community. The ability to engage in a cross-cultural work with the Anglo church to reach out to the Spanish-speaking group. That is where my passion resides. And let me bring about two of those aspects just to give you reasons why we should think cross-culturally. Denominational church buildings, such as temples and other type of facilities, are being sold for purposes other than the original one they were built for. This is happening today, and it has been a trend for some time now. This opinion is based on a research study conducted by the Francis Schuller Institute of Church Leadership Development and Fuller Institute in partnership with Thy Word Ministries. This is their opinion, it's not mine. God's marvelous church has become culturally irrelevant and even distant from its prime purpose of knowing Him, growing in Him, and worship Him by making disciples. They also state that nearly 50% of North Americans have no church home. The report shows that in the last 3 decades, the drop in membership has been in the 10s, the 12s, and the 40% in some denominations. And this is interdenominational statistics. Many churches are lacking relevance in their practices, and liturgies are becoming obsolete and repetitive. A new generation of believers do not seem attracted due to the fierce competition the work outside the church walls offers. Many of the churches are sensing the need to go back to basics such as purpose-driven discipleship, dependence on the message of the scriptures as the word of God, and paying attention to the movement of the Holy Spirit in the midst of a congregation and at a personal level. We hear Jesus in John 4:24 reminding us and encouraging us in that direction. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Nowadays, people do not even know God for what God does or who God is, but only for what others said God is. The campaign title for this year's Mennonite Convention, sorry for the others, but just as an information piece, the title for the Mennonite Convention is Love is a Verb. And I agree with it. But I also agree that we all need to realize that God is a living God to the living. He manifests himself to us through the acts of faith from true believers and their experiences with their God today. Yes, love is a verb. God is love. Therefore, God is a verb and not a noun, an inactive, inanimate thing. No. God is a living God, a God of action. That action among believers is what allows the movement of the Holy Spirit and brings revival in the church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we read about a revival story provoked by the action of togetherness. In Acts 2:1, this allowed for the movement of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the unity of believers. And these are the results explained on those verses that I just said. The believers had all things in common. They were breaking of bread with glad and generous hearts, praising God, and the Lord added to their number new believers. I argue that same sense of togetherness empowered by the Spirit can come again today, which will facilitate the revival for which churches are longing nowadays. The lack of creativity and of relationship within the community of believers, and the lack of relationship and interest to reach out to the unchurched has factored into the many reasons that have forced the decline to the point where new directions are lost, new generations are lost, therefore buildings are lost too. Please, just let's keep this fact in mind. Communities give meaning to buildings and not the other way around. My intention this morning is not to bring awareness to the loss of buildings and membership. No. It is to steer the spirits of those who are listening and to bring consciousness to existing communities of believers with whom I am in relationship with. As a minister and a church planter, I want believers to experience the Lord in fresh new ways. Now, why this is another reason with we can think about cross-cultural church planting? Because of the mission-minded community that we have in our congregations. One fundamental truth that drives my belief in the importance of cross-cultural church planting is the fact that most of the Anglo-Christian believers I have come across have had a cross-cultural experience at some point in their lives. One of the closest examples, EMU has a program that is mandatory for any enrolled student, whether undergrad or graduate, to engage in a cross-cultural educational experience, whether in this country or abroad. This presents students, depending on their work and the community they engage, to become sensitive to the needs of those who are dissimilar in some form from themselves. Students are taken out of their cultural comfort zones. Students have the opportunity to become aware of and sensitive to the issues around social justice, food, clothing, shelter, religious and spiritual needs. For those who participate, the sense of Missio Dei, God's mission, can stay by choice, ingrained in their hearts, or just in the mind, which at the right time can bear fruits. We hear Jesus saying this in Matthew 25, 35, 36, and says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Some will be challenged to take on a mission as soon as they graduate. Others will take several years for that opportunity to present. They will have to resign from work and sell possessions to self-finance their short-term missions. Some will never have the opportunity to engage in missions at all. Here is where I find fascinating. The large number of those who have had a cross-cultural experience also have a sense of mission. This sensibility can be stimulated, applying it to mission outreach in their own homes, churches, cities, and towns, without needing to sell their possessions and live in other work conditions. They can fulfill their call and passion for ministry by participating in church plants as, you name it, musicians, vocalists, Sunday school teachers. You don't need to speak Spanish to teach our children. They speak English. Financial supporters. Money doesn't speak a language. Or just being at events, present at events. You can participate in any way, in any given way. I have already cited scholarly produced studies for us to know that membership in local congregations from many different mainline denominations and other independent denominations, that their membership have dropped considerably. For communities that include at least some people with cross-cultural experience, teaching mission is, in this way, give believers the opportunity for new inspiration, a new mood, a burst from within, a new way to see the Great Commission as something doable in their own backyards. The typical Anglo believer that feels the need to look for ways to do missions overseas, yes, to sell everything, to buy a ticket, and to be on the way, to feel that they can lack of this and this and that as it's lived in those conditions overseas. This is a way to engage in missions in a different way. They can consider this an opportunity to stay home and still accomplish their call to missions. Here is where I come in. To tap into a reality that people can relate to if they want to. It is my call to inform and challenge the Anglo community and to invite them to engage in this venture and to let the Holy Spirit steer their call to do local missions as part of their ministry. This has been proven to work at the local Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene and can certainly be done again. This is what I propose. In the present, some denominational as well as non-denominational churches in Harrisonburg City have moved in the direction of outreach to other ethnic groups, particularly to the Hispanic, and then they can be named. Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, where I was part of the leadership team that planted the church, where the cross-cultural church planting concept was put into practice for the first time in this city. That is one. Others have done the outreach, but in the traditional way, where a leader from a minority ethnic group would come, would be supported to go solo to plant a church. The local church will do this, provides the venue, the building, with a symbolic rental amount, and a pat in the shoulder to go on your own basis. We can mention churches of this kind, such as Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Apostolic Assembly, Blessed Sacrament Catholic, Mormons, Grace Covenant, Covenant Presbyterian, Mennonite Hispanic Initiative, a division of the Virginia Mennonite Missions. Listen, when done this way, a local congregation maintains an us and them mentality. Cross-cultural church planting aims to prevent this kind of divisive thinking. As the vision pastor for the new church plant with which I am working now, it is my call to find a willing church with whom I can create a cross-cultural integration of talented and a skilled leadership team to pursue and achieve the projected goal of outreach to a specific community that surrounds the church venue and extends to the different areas of the city. This is just to mention the specific statement of purpose. I am planting the specific purpose of the church I am planting in Harrisonburg as its vision pastor is to provide a place of worship with a focus on peace and holiness lifestyle in the Mennonite and Baptist tradition, or can be extended to the Methodist, Brethren, Episcopal, Catholic, Presbyterian, or any other tradition as applicable. I told you about demographics, and these are the numbers. Hispanics are the second largest growing ethnic minority in North America. As of July 1st, 2015, we were at 17.6% rate of the overall U.S. population. That means 2 out of 10 people living in the United States are Hispanic. By adopting this approach of church planting, any Anglo denomination will become a model to other denominations and a challenge and a channel through which God's grace, mercy, and love can be experienced in a tangible, multicultural, multiracial, therefore multilingual way. Again, this is as close as we can get to the model church plants portrayed in Acts chapter 2, where the first cross-cultural church plant took place. The goal will not only be to disciple individuals in Bible truth, but also to help them experience social progress in this country. Along those gains, also, to slowly help banish from the minds of both sides the English and the Spanish-speaking communities, the taboo of the us and them mentality that is present today. Two approaches will be taken. Let me talk about the spiritual and the social being body and emotional. The mission for a church plant that I'm proposing is to minister to the person as a whole, according with the mandate of the scripture found in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and James 2, 14 to 18. Maintaining that a delicate balance between both the spiritual and the social needs, body and emotional, deepens our understanding that the message of the gospel has a greater impact when it is validated and supported by actions. In the social way, the social aspect of the ministry may involve the development of an array of programs such as food bank, cloth closet, for the provision of food and clothing, connecting and networking of agencies and vital resources in the community, children's care and rearing, teaching English as a second language. In conclusion, I have never seen the numbers, but thank you. All the facts I stated above then demonstrates why the adoption of a model of ministry outreach like this, the cross-cultural, the English and the Spanish coming together, contribute to the overall growth of the congregation. But it's not the focus, remember? It's the gathering, it's the togetherness. It can create for the body of believers a new pool of ministry opportunities, especially to those that already have a sense of mission, but can also create a sense of mission to those that have none and feel compelled to serve in the mission field but by participating in ministry in the local church plant. Churches need to incorporate new strategies to stay relevant to the Great Commission. One of these strategies working on a cross-cultural church planting model outreach to be witness to the unchurched, whether locals, foreigners, or foreign nationals.